guys, welcome to In the Mind of Frasier. I am your host, Sarah Frasier, and this podcast is an every Tuesday podcast all about interviews, experiences, and entrepreneurs. Today, I get to cover two bases, entrepreneurs and interviews. Thank you very much. I'm talking to two of the founders of Up Top Acres, which is an awesome, awesome business. It's all about elevating your eating, and it's reimagining what a farm looks like. They're based in Washington, D.C. There are two people that I'm going to be interviewing today, Kathleen and Christoph, as I mentioned, two of the founders. They're very young millennials. Christoph has blonde hair. He's tall, very thin, wears a baseball cap and a plaid shirt. He looks like a very modern hipster farmer. And Kathleen is the same, adorable, long hair, blondish, pulled back. She's a very sweet personality. And also sort of tall, too. I feel like everyone that works at Up Top Acres is kind of tall. But they decided a couple of years ago that the friends who went to D.C. public schools would come together and form Up Top Acres. And the whole idea was to create farm space on the top of buildings where people could actually grow their own food, and then it would be distributed to the residents that live there. I love this concept. And they're working with all kinds of builders, new and old, to try and bring this Up Top Acres, a garden on your rooftop, to every living space in DC and eventually beyond. I think you're going to enjoy today's interview, and it truly is an inspirational story of people with a dream making it happen. So take a listen to Kathleen and Christoph. I was going to tell you guys, I actually heard about you from my therapist. I don't know if that's like the crowd you're going for, but...
Absolutely. Our crowd is everyone, because everyone eats, so...
She loves you guys.
What's her name?
Robin Mize.
Okay. Well, cool. Like,
like, who the hell is that? But I, you know, I started looking online, and I love, love, love what you guys are doing. And essentially, and correct me if I'm explaining this wrong, but essentially what you guys do is you put gardens on rooftops in urban areas and try to make buildings self-sufficient, the community around there self-sufficient, and then anything extra you sell, local restaurants, that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, you got most of it. So we are trying to reimagine how cities sort of interact with the built environment as it relates to food. So we're trying to transform underutilized rooftop space into vibrant, productive growing spaces. And we do that by growing food on roofs. And we distribute the produce through what's called a community-supported agriculture program.
Okay.
It's basically a fancy term for a farm membership program. So people sign up at the beginning of the season, and they get a weekly share that's distributed in the lobbies of the buildings that we have farms on top of. So our little tagline is, instead of miles driven, we measure the distance our produce travels in flights of stairs. So,
My God. So tell me a little bit about how this all came together.
Yeah. So Christoph and I and our third co-founder, Jeff, are all DC natives. So I met Jeff in elementary school, and we all met Christoph in high school. So our friendship goes way back. And we all went off to college for different things. I studied urban planning, Christoph studied agriculture, and Jeff studied business. And we came back to DC because our community ties here are very, very strong. And we were working in our individual fields, and I went and I saw a rooftop farm in New York, and I fell in love, and I hit Christoph up, and he was farming in Maryland, and he had been looking for a way to bring, you know, start an urban farm as well. So timing was right, and we decided to give rooftop farming a go.
Okay, so, and I was asking you guys this, neither one of you really grew up gardening, right? I mean, I grew up in Maine on a goat farm, and there's really nothing, well, thank God you guys don't have, are you going to add animals? They're a real pain in the ass.
I would love to eventually. We got to do a lot of education with property owners to get the animals up there, but one day.
How about bees on the roof?
We keep bees, yeah. Yeah, we keep bees, we harvest honey, so we've got some, you know, living things up there that aren't plants. So we just need to graduate to the four-legged or two-legged variety.
What was it about farming that you fell in love with? Because I don't know, after a while, I'm like, all right, I'm tired of digging these carrots.
I mean, it was sort of a roundabout way. In high school, I got an internship working with a group called the Anacostia Watershed Society, which does, yeah, they do wetland restoration on the Anacostia. And I was, for a whole summer, out in, on the river, planting, transplanting wild rice, duck potato, sort of wetland plants into their nurseries that they're trying to establish to help clean up the water. And from that, I sort of realized I like plants. I like being outside. And when I was looking, to apply to college, I decided, hey, this seems like a field that I could get a job in. So I went, up to school in Vermont and studied plant and soil science. And then through that, there are a couple different tracks, but I got really into, food and our food system and how we produce food, how we feed ourselves. And from there it turned into, farming, fruit and vegetable farming. And
I kind of joke about it, but there is something really fun and beautiful and nice about growing your own stuff, and the taste is so different. And you know, it's amazing what a little tiny garden plot can produce. So, you know, DC can be kind of an uptight town, you know, has it been? And everybody's got a code, and every building has a code, and oh my God, I mean, I can't stand an HOA. But so was it hard for you guys to get people to say yes initially? Like, what was the first building that goes, okay, we'll try this?
Yeah, so we met with developers probably for about a year before we got anyone to agree to work with us.
Were they like, this? There's absolutely no way?
There were some people that, yeah, said that their tenants wouldn't want to see carrots in the elevator with them, or that we would have dirt everywhere. So the concept was really just too new for people to understand what it would mean to actually have a rooftop farm. So eventually we actually had a very lucky break and got to work with Jose Andres.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And so he was a big champion for us, and the building owner of the restaurant that OYML is in, or the building that OYML is in, decided that he would give it a go. So that was our first farm.
Oh my God. So the first farm starting out, because now you guys are full time. This is full time gig. I'm assuming you all had day jobs, and then you would just go and plant like afternoon or morning to make this garden a go.
Yeah, we started working on the concept early 2014. We all sort of, Jeff and I went and got jobs working for a construction company building sort of green roofs, which are what our farm, the system that our farms are built into. So we went, built some relationships, got firsthand experience how to operate and build these, what would soon be our farms. Kathleen was working for the downtown DC BID Business Improvement District. So she sort of getting experience with event planning, with urban planning policy, building relationships with people that work in the city government in the development realm, all things that we've needed, all those relationships we've needed to have. And then we did that through early 2016. So we were sort of doing this as a side hustle for 2+ years. And we opened the first pilot in 2015, summer 2015, which was at OYML. And then the second one was out in Bethesda. And then in 2016, we opened one of our larger farms down here in Navy Yard. And then 2017, another one down in Navy Yard. And then in 2018, we're going to have another one out in Bethesda too. So 5 total. And yeah, a big part of what we do is the agriculture, but it's also sort of trying to engage with the larger urban community. And we do that through hosting events. So we have awesome event spaces that we have on a few of our roofs, and we host everything from farm dinners to yoga classes to speaker series to happy hours. One of our roofs overlooks Nats Park, so we did watch parties for the playoffs. So any way we can bring people up and engage them with what we're doing, we try to do.
So I love, you know, too, you guys have such a bigger mission, I'm sure. Like, the idea to make buildings essentially in the future self-sufficient, that they could just live off this farm, is pretty cool. Tell me this, like, what about for people of different economic status? Have you guys kind of looked into that at all? You know, DC is becoming a very gentrified city, but, you know, there's still a lot of people here that are hungry and need, you know, do you envision this kind of going that direction too? And helping more neighborhoods that that need it, and then maybe also don't have the education about food.
Definitely. Yeah. So we are always working to try and create different models. So we have the model up and running right now where we are a commercial farm. We own everything that we grow, but we're working to figure out ways that we could start community gardens on top of buildings so that we could teach people who live in those buildings how to grow their own food. So we would really give them the tools that they need instead of just giving them the food that they need. So that's one of the models we're working with. And then we also see the role of urban farming really growing in cities. So being able to create jobs that exist now for people that didn't exist before, we think that's another path forward that urban farming and rooftop farming can really help just create these jobs that didn't exist in the green industry.
Oh my God, I think that's great. What do you guys think is the difference? Because you do still see a lot in DC, these kind of community garden spaces all around. So what makes yours different than those community kind of gardening plots?
Just that we operate as a commercial farm. So we grow the food and then we sell it. Whereas the community gardens have members, the members come and tend the plots and then they take the food home with them. We'd love to set up some of those. We've worked with some property owners who have been interested in it. It just hasn't really taken off yet.
I like your concept. Yeah. I feel like you guys are the new lifeguard. You know how every building has the lifeguard? They just need a gardener now.
Mm-hmm.
Like that in every building.
Thank you. Yeah, as do I. And another thing as it relates to food access in the city, which is a really important topic and one that the city hasn't really done a very good job of addressing. If anyone that knows someone that works for the mayor's office or the council is listening, you know, we think that the city should be putting rooftop gardens on every new affordable housing unit that's built, every new government building that gets put up. There's no reason that they can't design in something like that. That's a community asset that can then be owned and operated by the community. So we don't have a lot of free time, but in our free time, we try to lobby and push the DC government to move in that direction. So,
oh my God, you guys are going to explode. First of all, I'm going to just stalk you and blow you up on social media because I love this. And now, how do you two eat? Are you guys like vegans? Because I'm a part-time plant-based. Because it's first of all, it's just all the rage. It's the trend now. Everyone's vegan. But there's also just so much shit in our food. You know, and I think what I love too that you guys are doing is it seems very simple. Like, hey, let's grow seasonally. Let's like just what you eat, you know, and what you grow is kind of what you eat. So, your own food, what are your own sort of food values?
I was a vegetarian in college, high school and college for about 5 years. I'm no longer. I typically will eat, humanely raised animals. It's not that hard when we're sort of in this farming community, in the farmer's market community. I have access to it, which I'm really fortunate to have. And then I just eat a lot of vegetables. I mean, I'm surrounded by them all the time. So I have mostly a plant-based diet, but it's not really out of my planning. It's mostly because there's just like vegetables all around me that need to be eaten. Otherwise, they're going to go bad. So I just eat them.
Oh my God, I bet that's a complex. You like see all these cucumbers, you're like, I got to eat these.
Gotta eat them. Yeah, it happens. I bring my housemates. I'll come home with a big bag of produce and I'll say, this is going bad. You have to eat this. And I'll shame them into it.
Blame you. Kathleen, what about you? Do you have any specific...
No, nothing specific. I think it's pretty similar to Christoph, where I've really just found myself, it's a noticeable difference since we started this company, how much vegetables I eat, just because they're there all the time. And it's the easiest thing for us midday to, you know, get a snack of veggies from the farm. So yeah, I think for the most part, it's just a more heavily plant-based diet than in the past.
I have two final questions for you guys. I love that you're ethical entrepreneurs, essentially. And, you know, I have a podcast business. And so the entrepreneurial world is stressful at times. For you guys right now, this is a full-time, full-time business. But what's the stress? Is the stress funding? Is the stress getting to people like the mayor? What's the hardest part of your business?
A little bit of both, or a little bit of all of the above. Yeah, I mean, it's really that we've really bootstrapped it. We haven't really taken any outside investment. It's all really been just ourselves building the business.
And why is that? You want to do it your way?
We want to do it our way. I think we want to have control over the path of the business. But yeah, I mean, I think the most stressful thing is just learning, having to learn everything on the job. It's basically on the job learning all of the time, which is stressful because you make a lot of poor decisions and you have to fix them. You have to fix them, and that, you know, you feel stupid and that's stressful. And by the time you fix your mistake, you've just made another one. And so you sort of just keep bouncing. And, you know, as long as you're moving in the right path, right trajectory, then you sort of deal with it. But, you know, long nights, stressful, you know, stresses relationships with friends, with, you know, romantic.
They get upset about you over gardening?
Over time, you know, you have no time. We have no free time. Our social lives are non-existent. So yeah, I talk to vegetables. It's.
God, there's a new dating app as well.
Farmers only. Yeah. There you go.
Kathleen, what about for you? I mean, oh my God, is agriculture a good business for women or is it awful?
No, it's
like great. Media.
Oh, it's, really? I think it's been great. There's a really, really strong food community for women in DC. So there's this one group in particular, Pineapple DC, and it's all about just bringing together women in food and talking about your problems, what's going well, what's not. They create a bunch of cool events so you get exposed to all of these small food businesses in DC. So I think there's a really, really great community for people involved in the food industry in DC.
What else about entrepreneurial or your entrepreneurship is difficult?
Yeah, I mean, for us at Up Top right now, I would say like scaling right now is pretty hard. Being able to match the demand with what we can actually supply. But that's something we're definitely working on. And then just in terms of general entrepreneurship, I would just tag along with what Christoph said. It's just, it takes a strain personally. So really making sure we're both lucky. We have really good support networks. But I can't imagine doing it without my friends and family.
Last question. Is there a vegetable you hate growing?
Vegetable I hate growing? No, not really.
Some are harder than others to keep alive.
Some are harder. I don't like picking cherry tomatoes, so I'll go with that.
What about you? Is there a particular vegetable you're like, okay, we can leave that one out?
I'm not a big fan of microgreens. Yeah.
Oh, microgreens. Do they have to grow just in a pot?
They grow in like a tray-based system, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be a pain.
They're labor intensive.
Yeah, pain in the ass. No, just go with the lettuce.
Exactly.
Oh my God, you guys are amazing. Where can people find you? Where can they, I mean, what do you do? Like, do you take, if people are like, hey, we want you in our building, do you take submissions? Tell us where we can get more about you.
Yes, to that question. You can go to our website, uptopacres.com. We have information on our CSA. We have contact information if you want to talk to us about a potential project. We have our events calendar where you can buy tickets to come see the farms and engage with us that way. So the website, social media, Uptop Acres, at Uptop Acres everywhere. We have a great Instagram, Twitter, Facebook.
I love it. Please, I'm on all of them. I'm stalking you guys. I love what you're doing. Thank you so much for your time, Kathleen and Christoph. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay. As always, I love you guys. Did you enjoy this interview? I love these guys. They're amazing. Look, two things. Could you do me two amazing favors? If you could head to iTunes, subscribe to the Hey Fresh podcast and leave me a review. Hit 5 stars. Tell me what you love. And then also, if you could tell someone who has never heard of me or heard of this podcast about the podcast and share it, I'd be forever grateful. Good karma will be coming to you for the rest of your life. Okay, there's my little psychic reading. Love you guys. We'll see you next week.